Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners do from time to time. Or if you happen to find along via the Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't listen to us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free, and rate us from 1 star to 5 stars while you're there on the show page. Let us know what you, and write a review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, too, don't forget to like our Facebook page too, facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything. There you'll find show links, news updates as to what we're working on, and once again, we are trying to use the Facebook page as our forum. We'll ask questions, we'll get you guys answers, you guys can talk amongst yourselves, get us involved, and that way we can put together a better show during the course of the week. Okay, so not going to waste too much time. Thursday night, was a bittersweet but important moment in the Black Lives Matter movement, because it was the first time that I can recall since it all jumped off that a police officer has been convicted of crimes against black women. And if you haven't heard about it, then you don't worry about it. You're not alone, because if you weren't on Twitter heavy, you probably didn't hear about it. But Daniel Holtzclaw, a Oklahoma City police officer, purposely targeted black women in underserved and poor areas, you know, with drug problems. You know, they were sex workers, so on and so forth. At least 47 women came forward to say that he raped or sexually assaulted them in some form or fashion. 13, you know, complaints were filed as charges, you know, counting up to 36 in total. And he was convicted on 18 of those last night in an Oklahoma City courtroom. The jury recommended a sentence of 263 years. That's big. That's big. And it's big because for the first time, we're starting to see that, you know, we can get justice on both ends of the spectrum. I mean, granted, you know, we're still waiting for police officers to face justice in the, you know, in other cases. But still, when you think about, you know, Jordan Davis and Renisha McBride's killers being sentenced to heavy jail time, it's a start. but this is the first time I can recall that a police officer has legitimately, you know, been convicted and, you know, sent up the river where he belongs, quite frankly. If you can read the story on BuzzFeed about the 13 victims and their testimonies, it's absolutely jarring. Like, I don't know how I slept last night because I didn't read that story until all the verdicts came down. He was convicted on 18 of 36 charges, which still, to me, is, you know, I mean, granted, it's a lot more than any of us expected, but in reality of what this man is accused of, it's not enough. But he'll never see the outside of a jail cell as long as he lives. So there's that, you know, silver lining. There's that silver lining. But along with that, you know, comes some disappointment from black women in terms of how men, you know, black men have kind of, you know, remained silent on the issue. And I'll admit that I was paying attention to Daniel Holt's call, but I really wasn't, quote unquote, outspoken about it. Like, I was just paying attention, and I was like, I just hope this guy goes to jail. I just hope he gets convicted. That is like that was the main takeaway for me, was like, I believe that he did all of this crap and that he needs to pay for it. Fast forward to last night. He's guilty. He's crying in court. It's his 29th birthday. Can't say I feel sorry for him, you know? Can't say that, you know, I'm going to be the one black person sending this dude a fruitcake in prison. It's just not something that I don't see any happening for me or for anyone else. But it's disappointing to black women to understand, I mean, to know that they did this by themselves. Give them credit. Give them credit. Give Feminista Jones credit for, you know, putting that out there. Because she was the one, along with a couple other black feminists, that pretty much put the pressure on everyone on Twitter, in black Twitter, to sit up and take notice of Daniel Holtzclaw. And he's guilty as hell. He was guilty as hell from the jump street. And then when it finally, you know, came to pass that, you know, he was going to have to face some time for what he did, it should have been a celebration last night. And healing still needs to happen for the 13 victims, especially the five who didn't get the justice that they deserve. And those women are still to be believed. Because, I operate under, you know, the power of numbers. You know, I don't know if I'm a metrics guy or a statistics guy. I don't know what you call this. But guarantee forgot what I was going to say, and that sucks. That really sucks. But I can promise you this. It's disappointing that black women had to do this all by themselves and not really get the help that, you know, due to them from black men, and it's unfortunate that we as men continue to uphold these stupid stereotypes, like, you know, if you only dress a certain way, or if you do X, Y, and Z, then you'll be safe. That has never stopped a creep-ass creep from raping or harassing a woman, as far as I can recall. That's not something that you can just sit there and say, you know, that you can firmly believe in your heart of hearts, because it doesn't make any sense. Now I'm back to what I was thinking. The five of the 13 women that didn't get the convictions, they're still to be believed, and because, you know, you operate from the power of numbers. If there are that many people accusing someone of something, mind you, Bill Cosby's accusers are up to 50 now, over 50. Daniel Holtzclaw was running a close second with 47. Just like you believe the victims in the Cosby thing, you got to believe the victims in the Holtzclaw thing. Probably, well, I don't want to, you know, make this a creep off Olympics, but Holtzclaw was a police officer who abused his authority and abused black women thinking he could get away with it, because these were drug addicts. These were, you know, sex workers. These were women that were downtrodden. And even one of the victims said it. I didn't go to the police because who was going to believe a black woman? speaks for itself, doesn't it? But thankfully, he was brought to justice, and he's facing a maximum of 263 years in prison. I don't know how much of that time he's going to do, but I venture to guarantee you he won't be a young man by the time he gets out of prison, if he ever gets out. If he ever gets out. So it's a start. It's still a long climb up the hill to justice for black people and black women in general, but it's a start. It's something. It's something after all of the, you know, after George Zimmerman walked, after Darren Wilson wasn't even charged, after the guy who shot Rekia Boyd got off, after the uncertainty of the cop that killed the young man in Chicago that's, you know, the subject of discussion right now. It's something. But it shouldn't be an outlier. It shouldn't be an anomaly. It shouldn't be a once-in-a-blue-moon thing. And it definitely, you know, should mind, it definitely should make all of us black men sit up and pay attention that we need to do better by black women. I say this on the show every time we have this discussion, and I stand by it. I include myself in this. I'm not looking down from a molehill or, I mean, not a molehill, a mountain. I was thinking about making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know where the hell that came from. Sorry. But I'm not looking down from a mountain at anybody else. I'm saying we all have to do better. I'm saying we all have to do better. Flat out. Every last one of us. Every last one of us. And the thing is, the Black Lives Matter movement was started by black women for black young black boys and black men who were being killed in the streets by the police. Least we can do is have their backs, and then some. Let's do better, fellas. Simple as that. But as far as, you know, getting back onto the hose claw thing, you know, as far as getting back to the hose claw thing, I'm genuinely surprised that he was convicted of anything. Because once again, we've seen this movie play out before. Police officer violates black life or kills black or takes black life, doesn't see a lick of jail time for it. And in the Holzclaw case, it was really, you know, concerning because here's a guy, you know, a police officer who, you know, made no bones about who he was targeting. And yet and still, the jury turned out to be all white people, 8 men, 4 women. By all rights and privileges, we all assumed that he was getting off, especially when it took him 2.5 days to deliberate. Actually, I take that back, 45 hours, because they weren't delivering around the clock 24/7, I don't think. So that's still a good week, though. That's still a good week in change of some deliberations. So we all sitting there thinking, as long as it's taken, it's like, golly, this is not going to end well. It didn't end as well as we would have liked, but it still had somewhat of a satisfactory conclusion, which means he's guilty. Flat out, he's guilty, and if the sentencing works out the way we hope it does, he'll never see the outside again a day in his life, and he deserves that and then some. So credit to all the black women who stepped up and, you know, for themselves, because we definitely didn't do a good job of it, and getting this guy, you know, getting the notoriety for this case, and now hopefully this starts a snowball effect to other police officers, because I guarantee you Daniel Holzclaw is not alone in his, you know, abuse of power in underserved communities for black women with troubles or just black women in general. Can guarantee you that. So let's let that be the next, you know, phase of the Black Lives Matter movement. Let's start focusing a little more on the women, because they're the ones out there marching and, you know, being arrested for us. About time we step up and start trying to do the same for them. On to football now. The Arizona Cardinals picked up a big win last night against the Minnesota Vikings. Actually, before we talk about the actual game itself, how about give it up for 2 straight good Thursday night games in a row? Wow. Actually, 3. It's impressive. We had the Green Bay-Detroit Hail Mary last week. We had the Bears holding off the Packers at Lambeau on Thanksgiving night. And now we had the Minnesota Vikings with their young, fresh quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, driving down the field for either a tying field goal or the game-winning touchdown in the final seconds. But remember what I said yesterday when we previewed this game about the Vikings' offensive line being terrible? They were terrible when it mattered most. Bridgewater couldn't get enough time in the pocket to throw away the ball or find a receiver down the field. And here comes 236-year-old Dwight Freeney around the left side, the blind side, to strip Bridgewater of the ball. Big Calais Campbell falls on it with 5 seconds left, and that's all you need to know. Cardinals win 23-20. 11-3 now. No, pardon me, 10-3, excuse me. 10-3. Two and a half games up on Seattle in the NFC West with three to play. It's a pretty good place to be, and it clinches the playoff berth for them, too. So even if they lose the last three by some strange form or fashion, they can't finish any worse than sixth in the NFC. So they're in. Cardinals and the Panthers are in. The other four spots remain to be seen. And now the noose has tightened around the necks of the Vikings, because the Seahawks are literally a half game behind them for fifth place, in the NFC. And as I said yesterday, you could pretty much expect Green Bay to beat Dallas this coming Sunday. Like, you can set your clock by it. So the Packers will be a game up on the Vikings for the NFC North Championship with three to play. And right behind the Vikings and the Seahawks are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons at 6-6. So it's getting tight in the NFC. I mean, it's already really, really, compact in the AFC, but the NFC race is starting to get a little interesting as well, mainly from the standpoint because I feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to be in the playoffs because we need at least one game of January Jameis. Well, two, actually, considering the season finale is January 3rd. We need at least two games of January Jameis. The streets require it. And as much as I'm rooting for Minnesota because I like Teddy Bridgewater and I really think that he got an unfair rap coming out of the draft a couple years ago, Jameis Winston has taken the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a 3-13 squad to 500 with less than a month left to play and a real good shot of making the playoffs. That's crazy to me. And remind you, this is a Buccaneers team that still has some holes on defense. Their offense, needed time to come together, you would think, with a rookie quarterback. But they're right in the thick of it. They're right in the thick of it. And it really makes it hard for Minnesota because they really don't have an easy final three games left, if I'm not mistaken. If you'll give me a second, I'll pull up the schedule and I will gladly tell you what that schedule says. In fact, Tampa Bay is even a game ahead. I mean, has a tiebreaker over the Falcons because they beat the Falcons already. So Minnesota's last three games after last night. Let's see. They host the Giants on the 20th. They host Chicago and the Giants the next 2 weeks, and they're at Green Bay on January 3rd. It's possible. It's not a death sentence of a schedule, but they can't take the Bears or the Giants lightly heading into Green Bay for the last day of the season. So it's still a pretty good shot that Minnesota can make the playoffs, but that offensive line has got to do better. Like, their pass protection is awful. Absolutely awful. Like, I was surprised Teddy Bridgewater got the ball down the field as much as he did last night, because that line was constantly being shoved back by Campbell, by Dwight Freeney, by Delaware State University alum Rodney Gunter. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But you've got to have better offensive line play to protect a star quarterback, and the Vikings don't have that right now. And it doesn't really give Adrian Peterson that much room to operate, even though he doesn't need that much room to operate because he's probably one of the top five running backs playing the game right now. But you have to be concerned if you're a Vikings fan going forward these final 3 weeks of the season, because it doesn't look good right now. It doesn't look good right now. But who knows? They can win these last three games, the division, or at least make the playoffs. It's quite possible. It could happen. It definitely could happen. What happens from there is anybody's guess, though. But last night, the Cardinals showed why they're a really good football team. They are solid on both ends of the ball. They've got, Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson back there in the secondary, which is pretty good for a safety-corner combo. They've got the push up front with the front seven. You know, with guys like Witherspoon, Campbell, Freeney, Gunter, and so on. And then, of course, there's the offense with Chris Johnson. Well, Chris Johnson was injured. He didn't play much last night. But you still have Carson Palmer, who's, like I said, coming off a ACL injury, having a fantastic year, and old reliable Larry Fitzgerald. That touch, that block, that pancake block Larry Fitzgerald threw on the touchdown pass Carson Palmer had in the second half, that was first ballot Hall of Fame caliber stuff. Like, receivers usually block only when they have to, and the ones that do block that are such great blockers, usually because they don't get to see the ball much. Larry Fitzgerald's getting his targets, and he still finds the energy and the selflessness to put himself out there for a teammate. And, and he threw a pancake block. Like, he just, it wasn't like he just chipped this dude and got him out of the way just enough to let his teammate score. He shoved this dude down. Like I watched that last night in my bed, and I sat up. I was like, yo, that's why Larry Fitzgerald is so damn good. He does everything. He literally does everything. You got to love it. You got to love it. You got to love it. And that's why you really can't, you know, discount the Arizona Cardinals for the Super Bowl this year. You can't discount them for a Super Bowl this year. I mean, we're falling in love with the Carolina Panthers, and rightfully so, but this is legitimately a team, you know, to be reckoned with. And they proved it last night by winning a very tough game against the on-charging Viking squad. On to our last subject of the afternoon, or the morning. Damn, it's still morning. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know where I got that from. WWE TLC is popping off this particular Sunday night, and it's the last WWE pay-per-view in 2015, and it's one where WWE really needs to take a hard look at what they're doing going forward. They've been besieged by injuries. You know, Seth Rollins, of course, the big blow, you know, with the triple ligament tear, he's out until at least the summer. Randy Orton, after having shoulder surgery, now has to have neck surgery, so he might be finished. Cesaro has a shoulder problem that's going to keep him out until at least after WrestleMania. And then there's not a lot popping after that. I guarantee you that League of Nations idea with Sheamus, King Barrett, Rusev, and Del Rio was thrown together at the last minute because they don't have anything else. They don't have anything else right now. They don't have anything popping because Brock and Taker are part-timers. You know, your champion, your golden goose, blew his knee out, you know, giving his all. And you're not going to get him back until SummerSlam at the earliest. And, you know, people are still, you know, lukewarm on Roman Reigns, even though his bloodline and his physique suggest that he should be champion. If you're not over, you're not over. And Roman isn't completely over yet. So this TLC pay-per-view is going to be interesting only from the simple fact that the New Day could possibly save the WWE if they let him. We talk about the New Day all the time on Twitter, and they're just like, they're great. I mean, these are black guys who aren't coons, who aren't the angry black guys. These are black guys who are having fun and shown that they have a mean streak and that they can get serious when it's time to get serious. This is the first time I can recall in some time that black WWE wrestlers have been, you know, marketed and booked and written for without being overly offensive to black people. People probably say, well, what about The Rock? Got to remember, The Rock is, you know, half black, half Samoan. So he was always going to have to, and his family just had too much respect in the business, so they wasn't going to, you know, throw him under the bus. But TLC in general, it's not something that I'm really looking forward to. Definitely don't care about the Charlotte Paige Divas Championship match because it should be Sasha Banks, in the Paige's spot. But, you know, I'll watch. I mean, we'll watch together because it's what we do. This is what Wrestling Twitter does as a family. We'll pick it apart. We'll critique it. I'll probably preview it on Monday. I'll probably recap it on Monday's show. And guess what? We'll be watching Monday Night Raw together again. Again together this following Monday. I'm stuttering a lot. Maybe I'm just too excited. Maybe this is the first time in a while I've had a show that just, you know, has run seamlessly from one topic to the other. It means I'm getting back on the horse. Very excited to be back on the horse. But, yeah, we'll watch TLC together on the WWE Network. We'll pick it apart. Come back, watch Raw, same thing. And then we'll still try to figure out what Triple H can do to give Vince McMahon and his merry band of goofs in the creative department out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything all week long. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/ChrisStevensOnAir, iTunes, All Subjects Everything, same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Please enjoy your weekend. Come back and holler at us Monday when we'll recap TLC and week 14 in the NFL, the rest of it anyway. Till then, y'all be good or be good at it.
Wearing my name, trying to stop this fight. Oh, but I'd give anything.